Well, good morning, New Life. Yes, it's so good to go from the scattered community to the gathered community to lift up to the name of Jesus. And we're just thrilled that you have decided to be here. Maybe you're coming here today as maybe you're coming here for the first time ever. Maybe it's the first time in a long time. You came to one of the Christmas Eve services. You're saying, you know what? I want a fresh start this year. And so this is kind of your fresh start into the new year as being here. Maybe you attend here week in and week out. And we're so grateful for that. Maybe you're here because you have confession to make because you were on the 101 this week, and man, you just found yourself like lost yourself and lost your temper, and words came out of your mouth and all kinds of stuff. But whatever reason you are here, we are grateful that you have decided to gather together. And I don't know about you, but it's an interesting dynamic that happens following kind of the Christmas day and into New Year. That kind of week between, or those days between, it sometimes can kind of feel like this kind of post-Christmas blues that kind of set in on you. I mean, when you're preparing for Christmas and everybody's coming into town and you put up the lights and everything's going and it's exciting and it's wonderful, and then everybody begins to go back home and you're eating mashed potatoes for the fourth day in the row, and all these things begin to happen, and you start to begin to think about your calorie intake that you had over the last kind of 20 days. You're thinking, man, this new year, I need to set something straight. I'll be honest, I am so thankful for all the incredible goodies that we have received in our family. We have incredible bakers in our church, and they have given us all kinds of sweet treats and cookies and all that kind of stuff. But you develop this habit, where every time you walk by the counter and that stuff is out, you just grab one. And by the end of the day, you got 1,500, you got like your calorie intake in those cookies. And I'm grateful that I'm training for the LA Half Marathon and Kilimanjaro because I needed that. I needed that, you know, this time of year. But you start thinking about, okay, what am I going to do differently in 2020 than I did in 2019? Like in that moment, in that law, you start asking yourselves, man, I want something greater in 2020 than what I experienced in 2019. And we come up, you know, again, whether it's you write it down on paper, whether it's subconsciously, most of us start thinking about things that are on our bucket list or things that we want to accomplish or number of books we want to read or any number of things that we want to do in 2020 that is different than what we did in 2019. But here's the reality. Unless you change your habits, you will never experience the fruit or never accomplish those things. Because we are kind of in a, you know, in 2019, there were certain habits and practices that you had incorporated into your life that got you the exact results that you experienced. And unless we do something different, unless we have kind of a different focus, then we will never experience those new things or begin to check off those things that we want to see happen in 2020. And so for me, I began to think about several years ago and did some reading on how to kind of maintain these New Year's resolutions or add spiritual practices and habits to our lives that can be life-giving. And one of the things that was suggested I kind of gravitated towards is, instead of just looking at maybe one or two things that you can do or several things that you can do, what if, you know, you began to take a word or a phrase and allow that word or phrase to begin to work its way into the fabric of every aspect of your life. And so I've used various words and phrases over the years, but I began thinking about that in light of who we are as New Life and what my heart is for us as New Life in 2020 and what I would love to see God do here at New Life in 2020. And if there's a statement that I could give you that I think could be revolutionary for you and revolutionary for me and revolutionary for us as a community in 2020, it is simply this phrase: never stand alone. If in 2020 you begin to think about something that would radically transform your life and radically deepen your relationship with God and deepen your relationship with one another, that we would become the type of community that was talked about in scripture and God's design for what it means to be the church, it would be simply this phrase: never stand alone. Now, if you're an introvert like I am, you're breaking out in a cold sweat. You're like, man, I don't even like people that much. I've had enough people this December. I need all of January just to avoid people. So I get it. Some of us kind of feel that. If you're an extrovert like my wife, you're like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Party in a box. Let's do it. But wherever you find yourselves kind of in that spectrum, when I say never stand alone, what I'm talking about is that you would never stand alone because you were joined or linked together in your relationship with God, and that you would never stand alone because you were joined together or linked with the people of God. that those two areas, if you're thinking, and maybe even begin to write this down, you begin to say, hey, you know what? This year, I want to grow deeper in my relationship. And that's how we talk about things kind of in church language and church world, right? I want to get deeper with God. Well, if you want to get deeper with God, then what are you going to do to join yourself or link yourself in relationship with God? And what we're going to talk about today is that if you're going to do that, if you're going to link yourself with God, then you have to link yourself with the body of Christ. That those two things are joined, that God's Spirit resides in the body of Christ. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is in the New Testament or the second half of the Bible. We're going to be in verses 19 through 22 here in just a moment. In the very first part of Ephesians chapter 2, though, we get reminded by the Apostle Paul that the gift of grace, the salvation that God offers through Christ Jesus is a gift of grace. It's not anything that you've earned or done on your own, but it's what has transformed us into these new creations. It's what has made us alive in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we are dialed in on here at New Life is that we want people to become fully alive in Jesus. And so if we're going to become fully alive in Jesus, all of a sudden, the latter part of Ephesians chapter 2, we begin to get an understanding of the design that God had in mind to help people become fully alive. Like, how is this going to be lived out? Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 19, we read these words. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Now again, just to stop there for a moment, what you have Paul talking about is that you have the promises that God made to Abraham and that all of a sudden that were extended specifically to the people of Israel. But when God sends Jesus, those promises, those benefits of being the people of God and being involved in what God is doing is now extended to not only Jews, but also Gentiles. And if you don't have any Jewish background in you, you are grateful for that this morning because you're a Gentile and God has opened up his plans and purposes to you. But what happened was in the Old Testament, you had this beautifully designed temple, and within that temple, in the Holy of Holies, is where the presence and the Spirit of God resided. But in the New Testament, we discover it's not in a building, it's not in a place that the Spirit of God is going to reside. What we discover is it's in the community or the people of God where the Spirit of God will be active and present. He says, you are members of God's family. Together, we are his house built on a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. This dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. It's not a place, it's not a building, it's not some place where we can kind of put God in a box, but it's a body of believers that are joined in relationship with God and joined with one another, that God is constantly adding to and building and creating his body, his temple through the community that he is creating so that we never have to stand alone. And so in 2020, rather than just seeing church as a place to go, rather than just seeing it as a building, rather than seeing it as just kind of a ritual habit that you participate in, that we would begin to see it as a body, not something to fit into our schedule, or, hey, do we have time to go to church this week or not? But it would become this essential part of the fabric of our lives, that the community of God would be this place that we hungered and thirst for, because when we gather together, as James talks about in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, where two or three are gathered together, there I will be also. And there's this linking together of the people of God. And when there's a linking of the together of the people of God, there is a residing of the presence of God in our midst. And so here's my prayer for you. Here's my longing for you and for me in 2020, that we would choose connection, that we would be joined together. That when we looked at each other, it wasn't just somebody who I went to church with, but they were my brother or my sister in Christ, that we were part of the body because we hungered and thirst for God to reside, his Spirit to reside in our presence in that way. And so we chose to connect with one another. But the challenge is that we were created for that type of connection. This is what God is getting us back to when he gives us this imagery, when he gives us this vision for what the church can look like. We were created for connection, but we drift towards isolation. When you're left to your own kind of like workings, when you're left to kind of just figure things out on your own, when you're trying to just kind of go through life, you will tend to drift towards isolation. And there's really two to three specific reasons why that you tend to drift towards that isolation. The first one's theological. You were created for a connection. We see that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. You were created in the image of God, and you were created for a relationship, or to be joined or linked in relationship with God, and or to be joined or linked in relationship with one another. But in Genesis chapter 3, sin enters the world. And when that happens, it fractures our relationship with God, and it fractures our relationship with one another. And you see it happening in Genesis chapter 3. God creates the Adam and Eve in the garden. He places them there, and he creates them for relationship with him and relationship with one another. And he says, man, when you live life in this way, when you live life by trusting in me in the way that I've designed it, it'll be fruitful, and you will be fruitful, and you will multiply. It'll be good, and it'll be right. But Eve in Genesis chapter 3 is persuaded by the serpent, the enemy, to go and partake of fruit from the knowledge of good and evil. And when she does that, she communicates something that the same thing that each and every one of us has communicated down throughout history, that we understand good and evil better than God, that we understand how to live life better than God, that we trust ourselves more than we want to trust God, that we want to be joined to ourselves more, and ourselves alone more than we want to be joined to God. And in that moment, there's this relationship that is fractured between us and God when we say, you know what, I want my way and my desires and my things more than I want God's. And then Eve offers the fruit to Adam. And Adam takes the fruit from her, and both of them are separated from God. But something else significant happens, that there's a fracture in their relationship with one another. And if you read the text, you begin to discover Eve blames everything on the serpent, and then Adam blames everything on Eve, this woman you put me here with. And then all of a sudden you have this fracture in the relationship with God and fracture in the relationship with one another. And for the very first time, they experience shame. Very first time they feel isolation. Very first time they feel alone because they chose to do what they wanted to do over and above God's design. And so when we read this text, there's this pulling of us away and going, hey, yeah, God, I can figure out this church thing on my own. I can figure out this spiritual thing on my own. I can figure out this religious thing on my own. Why don't you let me take care of it? And I don't have to do it by your design. I'll do it by my own design. But in this text, God's saying, this is how it's going to work. You're going to link and join yourselves together under the banner of Christ. Christ Jesus will be the cornerstone of this building, of this community that I am developing. And when you join yourself because of what Christ has done, and he becomes the foundation, his spirit will reside in your presence. And again, that theological reason that we find this difficult and we isolate ourselves all of a sudden begins to work its way into the fabric of our culture. We start kind of having this idea that we need independence. We need, you know, I need my own individuality and my own independence. Now again, individuality in of itself is not, you know, horrible or anything like that. But what happens is we take it to the extreme and we begin to isolate and push other people away. It even works its way into our vocabulary. If you're a Gen Xer or maybe a boomer, you might have said this at some point in your life, I wanna blaze my own trail, I wanna make my mark. If you're of the younger generation, you might have said, you do you. You know, however you kind of, whatever the vocabulary that you use, it's evidence of this kind of thing where we push community away in order to identify ourselves as individuals rather than linking ourselves with one another. For some of us, it's self-preservation. The reason why we isolate. We've been hurt. In fact, some of you might be here today because you're trying to give this whole church and God thing a second chance because somewhere along the way in your journey, you were hurt by the church. And I want you to hear me say, I don't minimize that. I know that's a reality in many people's stories. And I'm sorry that for whatever reason, you were hurt by the people of God That is not what we were designed to do. We were designed to be a place where we would be joined together. And because we're joined together, you experience the presence of God in your life. But sometimes we isolate ourselves out of that self-preservation. And then again, we have this worked into our culture, and maybe I think sometimes we struggle with this more here on the Central Coast, maybe than in other areas, where it's just about me and God. It's my own spiritual journey, that somehow I can just kind of work things out on my own, and it's just me and God. And we do things that begin to kind of, again, work its way. We're like, hey, it's just me and God. I'm just gonna read a book about God. I'm gonna get online and watch some messages or podcasts about who God is. And we take the component of joining ourselves together with a body, with a community out of the equation. But when I go back to the text and I begin to see, what is God doing? He's building a temple where the people of God are joined together. And as the people of God are joined together, that Jesus becomes the cornerstone of who they are, of the community. And that in relationship with one another, as they gather together, as they live out the practices and do the things that Jesus did, that God's Spirit resides in that place. It's where God's Spirit dwells, is in the people of God. There's this other reason why sometimes we isolate ourselves too, though. Sometimes it's not a choice. Sometimes it's not culture. Sometimes it's the fact that no one invites us in. And some people maybe have been attending here for quite some time, and they're going, you know, I just don't know where I fit. I've never been invited in. There just seems to be, like, every time I try to get connected or try to join myself to the people of God, there just seems to be these blockades. And my heart hurts when I hear those types of stories, because, man, I want this to be a place where you feel like you can belong. For some of us, we just wrestle with kind of the socialness of it, and we can be awkward, and we've always felt like we're kind of that person who's on the outside looking in. And when we feel like we're, like, on the outside looking in, and we're kind of like that person, if you've ever seen it happen at a sporting event where there's a great play that happens and the team goes high-fiving down and somebody's standing there like that and he gets missed and he's like, okay, I'll just high-five myself. Like, that's what we feel like when we're standing around watching everybody else participate and we're trying to figure out where we kind of fit in. And so if you have found yourself kind of, again, if you know that, like, you're inside you know that you were created for connection with God and being joined with God, you know you were created to connect with one another, but you haven't quite figured out how to do it, let me suggest to you, there's two areas that, man, we could grow in as a body in 2020. And they are stand with one another and make room for others. Stand with one another and make room for others. If you are, again, new here, or you're not quite sure about this whole God thing, and you're just checking things out, or you're trying to figure out how to connect or what to get, I want you to hear me say, you belong here. This is a place where we want you to feel like you can belong, not just attend, not just say, hey, that's my church that I go to on Sundays, but a place where you can belong. And part of belonging is, again, standing with another, finding another person that you can link yourself to, finding several people that you can link yourself to. And when you're searching for those people, when you're trying to figure out who are the type of people that you need to link yourself with, here's a suggestion. Find somebody who is got incredible judgment, but not going to judge you. Find someone who has incredible wisdom, incredible judgment, but is not going to judge you. Again, if you go back to the book of James, in the context of saying where two or three are gathered together, here I am also, what he's talking about is wisdom and discernment, that the people of God would have this wisdom and discernment. And so when we begin looking to link ourselves to somebody, when we begin to allow somebody to speak into who we are becoming and into the innermost parts of our lives, you shouldn't give permission to just anyone to do that. You've got to surround yourself in that core center of your life. Again, you're going to have lots of different connections and lots of people you kind of update on life about. But when it comes to those people that you're going to join together with, you need to ask yourselves, who should those people be? In fact, my kids, from the time that they were really young, they'll tell you that one of my phrases that I have repeated to them over and over, the moment they can start choosing friends for themselves, and it wasn't like, hey, you're friends with these kids because we hang out with their parents. Like, they started choosing their own friends. They've probably heard me say this no less than maybe 1,000 times, maybe 50,000 times, I don't know. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Because I constantly wanted them to understand that who you surround yourself, who you join yourself with, who you link your life with will shape the trajectory of your life. And so if you want to deepen in your relationship with God and a richness to your relationship with God, then who are the people that have that same vision for life that you are joining yourself or God is bringing you together, linking you together in relationship? So where do you find the right people? Well, there's a couple places here at New Life. One, and I know this sounds really self-serving, but it's honestly one of the best ways to connect with other people and experience fullness of life. Start serving somewhere. Honestly, it is one of the best ways because when you start serving somewhere, you're gonna connect with other people who are following Jesus and there's gonna be discipleship that takes place and there's gonna be encouragement that takes place. And all of a sudden you begin linking with your life with other people's lives. And when you do that, you start seeing the movement of God in ministry and it's active and present. And you become in awe of how not only God is moving, but how God is moving through you. And it helps you to grow and it deepens your relationship with God. And if you're not quite sure where to start, here's a couple of things. I see Pastor Malin down here and I know that she's with our students and I know that our kids ministry are great places to start. I know our greeting is a great place to start. I know that that there are opportunities throughout the church to begin serving. Two really kind of like, hey, let's dip our toe in and kind of see what's going on, opportunities that we have available. One is beginning this evening, New Life is responsible for this particular week for the Warming Center. We've had many people sign up. We know that the Warming Center is gonna be open this evening. We're not sure, again, based on weather and whether or not there's precipitation or rain the rest of the week, we may or may not be open. But if you want to come and be a part, I'll be there this evening. You can come be a part of hosting, the people who are homeless in our community and giving them a warm meal and a warm place to stay this evening so that they can be protected from the elements. And so it's a great way to serve. We're gonna be launching a You Choose Food Pantry about mid-January and you can partner with Pastor Gina Nicola and be a part of what she is doing and how God is working through that to provide healthy, fresh options for people who will find themselves in an under-resourced situation so that they can not just kind of put the canned goods into their diet, but they can put fresh fruits and vegetables and things of that nature into their diet as a part of that You Choose Food Pantry. There's a variety of ways of connecting with one another when you serve. You can also join a group. We have this kind of, flyer that you can get right out on the connection counter, and it gives a list of all the different groups that you can be a part of. Again, some of you are going, well, I don't really want to join a group or I don't really want to serve. Again, if you don't change your habits, you will never experience the growth. Never experience the growth that God has desire for you. And the third area is simply just to start to get real with somebody. When you link yourself with somebody, make the choice that as you deepen your relationship with them, get real with them. We have a variety of different groups where that is possible, but we also, specifically for our men here, I wanna speak to you because sometimes I think we struggle the most with where to do this. We have over 25 mentors that are ready, willing, and able to meet with anybody, to help disciple, to sit down in a variety of different situations from business owners to people who are married, to people who are single, to people who are in retirement, to have kids, who don't have kids. They would love to link together with some other men where iron would sharpen iron. And we're not talking about meeting with them every day. We're talking about once a month, connecting together, growing, encouraging one another, praying for one another, that you would continue to grow in your relationship with God. Not only do we need to stand with one another, but what if we started to create space for others? We are 70 years old as a church. And so sometimes when you become 70 years old as a church, you can become kind of this fortress that's really hard for people to get on the inside of a community. And I believe that God is calling us to start looking outside. That's similar to what we see taking place in the text. You have Gentiles and Jews, and the Jews are like, hold on a second, man, we have a long history with God. We don't want these Gentiles coming in here and messing things up. And God say, hey, look, I'm doing a new thing. I am joining together Gentiles and Jews, and we're gonna be one body and one church. And so I want us to be a place where people come, and whether or not they're just kind of curious about who God is, or no matter their socioeconomic, or no matter their ethnic background, no matter who they are, that they would find this as a place where they can grow in their relationship with God, where they can be linked with the body, and that they can experience the presence of God in community with one another. And so here's a practice that I want to encourage you to do. And it's really simple, like way more simple than you think I'm going to say. I guarantee it. 1-1-1. That's all you got to remember. You can write that down if you can't remember it. But 1-1-1. That you would begin to every single day pray for one person, for 1 minute, for one divine encounter. Pray for one person, for 1 minute, for one divine encounter. Now, you might already have the person in mind who you're like, man, I would love to invite them into the church community. I would love to invite them into the things that God is doing here at New Life. Or you might be someone say, hey, I'm not quite sure who that is. And you just start praying every single day. God, would you give me a divine encounter with somebody where I could have a spiritual conversation, where I could encourage somebody, where I might be able to invite them into understanding the things of God. And if every single day, each and every one of us started saying, you know, I am going to pray every day for one person, for 1 minute, for one divine encounter, how might God move in and through our midst over the next several weeks, or the next several months? But all of this, joining together, being the people of God, begins with a hunger and thirst for the presence of God. His presence resides in the body of Christ. His presence, where we experience it most tangibly, most authentically, most richly, is when we join ourselves together. And when we join ourselves together, we join and link ourselves with the presence of God, because that's where his spirit resides, as Jesus is the cornerstone of our community. And so how do you connect with God? You might be asking, okay, I was on my bucket list, or not bucket list, but my New Year's resolution list, that I wanna deepen my relationship with God. How do you deepen your relationship with God? You deepen your relationship with God through deepening your relationship with the people of God. Now, some of you, and again, I think this has over the years become kind of a divide, where we have kind of put religion over here and relationship with Jesus over here. We have kind of this false dichotomy between the two. Now, I understand why some people do that, because there are definitely, you can fall into, if you're not careful, into like dead practices, or practices without any meaning, or you just kind of do these just because, right? So I understand that. But the reality is that if at its best framework, religion is simply just spiritual practices that join us in relationship with God and with one another. And so they're necessary. It's kind of like if I said this to you, I want to have a marriage with Dana, but I don't want to do any of the practices that make it a marriage. I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to eat with her. I want to separate the house, and this is my side of the house, and that's your side of the house. I don't want to do anything that is a practice of having a great marriage, but I want to have a marriage. It doesn't make sense. And so for us to say, I don't want anything to do with the people of God, or the church, or going to church, or being a part of reading God's word, or spiritual practices, or joining myself with the people of God, but I still want a relationship with God, doesn't make sense. The two come together. And God has designed it that we would be his temple, and that his presence would reside in his temple. One of the ways that we want to fuse ourselves together in 2020 is by spending kind of the first, starting January 5th, 21 days of the year in prayer and pursuit of God. And so we are gonna be spending 21 days starting January 5th pursuing God as a community. And there's a couple ways that you can do this. Next week, we're gonna have printed hard copies in case you're not kind of a techie person. We understand that. You'll have hard copies of devotionals that you can take home with you. And there's prayer prompts on there that will kind of give you direction of how we are gonna be praying over that 21 days each day. If you're a more techie person, you wanna do this, and I apologize if you're, you know, Gen Z and you like Snapchat, you're gonna have to text for this one. But if you text prayer to 805-979-2003, 805-979-2003, if you text prayer every single day, you will get that prayer prompt pushed to your phone, and it will remind you to stop and take some time to pray and spend some time in the presence of God. And what's cool is we will be the scattered community throughout the week, but we will be unified in our prayer throughout the week. And so we will be pursuing God in these 21 days at the beginning of 2020. A second thing that you can do, and again, I understand that not everybody would be able to participate in this one, is on Tuesdays, we gather here as a staff, and we spend from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in prayer. And so we thought it'd be really great during 21 days of prayer for those who maybe are not working in that time, are retired, have that day off, that we wanna invite you to come and join us in that time of prayer right here in the sanctuary from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning. And we'll gather together here. We'll have some time of worship and prayer and specifically lean into God's presence together during that time. And then towards the end of that 21 days of prayer, we will be having a night of prayer and worship where we'll gather together and just really pursue God and his presence and his direction for our lives. To me, rather than randomly just kind of writing down a bunch of things on our New Year's resolution list, it's such a better way to press into the presence of God and say, God, reveal to me what you want to do in my life this year. Reveal to me how you want to shape me further into your image. Reveal to me how I can deepen my relationship with you and deepen my relationship with the body of Christ. And when we do that, when we link ourselves to God and when we link ourselves to one another, God's Spirit empowers us to be about his kingdom and his mission and his ministry, to go and do the things that he did in this world. He begins to send us out. He begins to allow the prayer that we pray to become not just a prayer, but a reality. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we do that, and we lean into that when we don't isolate ourselves, when we don't kind of push people aside, when we don't just say, hey, you know what, my spiritual thing is just about me and God. But when we have a resolve to say, this year, I will not stand alone. I will join myself with God, and I will join myself with the people of God so we can experience the fullness of the greater things that God has in store. As we experience what it means to be loved by Jesus, what it means to be shaped by Jesus, what it means to be sent to go and do the things of Jesus, that we might experience what it means to be fully alive in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is my prayer, God, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see you fresh and anew in 2020. That God, we would press into your presence, that we would listen intently, that we would allow your Spirit to reside, and that we would have an expectation that you are here and present and active, and we're listening and saying, God, what do you have for us? What do you have next? How can I be a part of what you're doing? That we would be so joined to you and so joined together that there would be a healthiness and a fruitfulness about the ministry here at New Life. That when people step onto our property, they'd be saying, man, there's just something different. That New Life isn't just a place to attend. It's not just a place to check off my weekly obligation of going to church. It's a family, it's a community. And man, can I tell you, God's Spirit is active and present there. Because that's what changes lives, and that's what transforms marriages, and that's what heals and restores and sets people free and breaks chains. Is when your Spirit is active and present in a community. And so God, may we lean collectively into you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? You know, it's really easy to gather together, to come in here and then leave and just kind of go back right into the rhythms or the patterns of this world of isolation and me, myself, and I, and all those types of things. So here, my benediction or commission to you this morning is simply this. As you go, may you choose, may you have a resolve to never stand alone, but to link or join yourself with God and join yourself with the people of God so that we might experience greater things, so that his kingdom would come, his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. Hope to see you next week.